Welcome to the program God and Country, where current issues are discussed in the light of biblical exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program is about the Benghazi cover-up. The story from the very beginning was very disheartening. Everyone knew that the White House had changed the story for political expediency, and this was politics as usual. If you have followed the news, you have heard the testimony in the House hearings indicting the State Department of cover-ups. But here at God and Country, we don't want to simply report the tantalizing news. There are some deeper lessons we should see concerning the nature of dishonesty, the reason for dishonesty, and how the deeds of darkness ought to be exposed. Remember Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 5. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. And through this text, we should recognize this basic Christian principle, that cover-ups are everywhere, and they need to be exposed if righteousness is going to rule the day. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 20, that those who do evil are fearful that their deeds will be exposed. But at some point, they will be exposed. As Moses warned the people in Numbers chapter 32, be sure your sin will find you out. And Jesus, speaking about the cover-ups of the Pharisees, said in Luke chapter 12, but there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and whatever you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. Now, of course, this ultimately refers to God's judgment day, but even today, corruption is soon exposed. History has exposed the corruption of the Pharisees in Jesus' day. And history has not been kind to all of the corrupt administrations in American history. Eventually, people know and judge what you have done. And this should be a warning to mind your P's and Q's. Because if men eventually will expose your sin, how much more a holy God? Now, there is one more profound text I would like to look at in regard to cover-ups. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 24 through 25. The sins of some men are quite evident, going before them to judgment. For others, their sins follow after. Likewise also, deeds that are good are quite evident, and those which are otherwise cannot be concealed. Now the subject is, don't be too quick to put a man into the place of leadership, because unless a man has been thoroughly vetted, and you have a 20 to 30 year track record to look at, you really don't know the man. In the context, Paul is saying, do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily, meaning do not ordain people into a place of leadership unless you know them thoroughly. And in our present situation, it is quite unbelievable that the voters made a junior senator from Illinois president without him having any appreciable experience or track record. Now, Paul says here in 1 Timothy 5, some men's sins are hidden from view, and you can't see them until much later. Their sins follow after. But in time, a person's goodness or badness cannot be concealed. Eventually, if you wait long enough, a person's character will come to the surface. Now, in his second term, President Obama is experiencing all of these scandals. Benghazi, the IRS, Fast and Furious, the Solyndra Energy Department scandals. And I expect that there are more scandals to come. If a president is going to have scandals, they always take place in the second term, because it takes about 4 years before a president has time to do anything scandalous. But on day one in office, we could have bet the farm that President Obama was going to have an administration fraught with cover-ups and scandals. How could we be so confident? Because President Obama is an adamant proponent of abortion and homosexual marriage. And that tells us that his moral compass doesn't face due north. Therefore, there will be other ethical failures. Now, of course, people on the left would adamantly reject that kind of assessment, claiming that one can hold to the left's moral platform and still be honest and ethical. But the Bible says otherwise. Moral discernment and ethical behavior are a package deal. And if you can't figure out that killing a child in a mother's womb is murder, your whole moral worldview is twisted. And I would say you cannot be trusted. Remember, Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 44, that murderers are also liars. So we expect duplicity, we expect obfuscation, scandals, cover-ups from the present administration. This is the fruit of their secular liberal worldview, which includes situation ethics. Ethics change according to the circumstances, and lying is considered okay in some circumstances if it's for a good cause. Now let's review the Benghazi timeline. On September 11, 2012, our U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya was attacked. If you remember, 1 year earlier, the United States helped rebels overthrow the dictator of Libya, Muammar Gaddafi. Al-Qaeda operatives in Libya attacked our embassy trying to make a statement that they were alive and well. 2 days before the attack, the Al-Qaeda leader in the region, Zahari, produced a jihad video for the anniversary of 9/11. And in that video, he called for attacks on Americans in Libya to avenge the death of al-Libi. Al-Libi was an Al-Qaeda leader from Libya that the United States took out with a drone strike 3 months earlier in June of 2012. The attack on the embassy was definitely revenge for our drone strike on one of their leaders. On Tuesday, September 11th at 4 p.m., the State Department Operations Center sent out an alert that the compound was under attack. Ambassador Chris Stevens called Gregory Hick, Deputy Chief of Missions in Tripoli, told him that the embassy in Benghazi was under attack. The Department of Defense and the State Department were notified. Yet all requests for military assistance were denied from the administration. Who turned down requests for help is still a guarded secret by the administration. That night, the ambassador and three other embassy people were killed. The very next day, the CI chief in Libya confirmed that this was a terrorist attack by Al-Qaeda. The president of Libya announced that it was a terrorist attack. Deputy Chief Gregory Hicks in Tripoli personally told Hillary Clinton that the attack was Al-Qaeda. Last week, Hicks testified before the House that he was shocked 2 days later when he heard that the administration was saying that the attack was a spontaneous demonstration because of a YouTube video against Islam that a California man put on the web. Gregory Hicks also testified that he was demoted because after the event, he started to speak out. Officials at the CIA were also shocked that their original report was changed by Hillary in the State Department. The original documents from the CIA about Benghazi are now available for people to see. And it is very clear that the State Department removed all references to Al-Qaeda, to terrorism, and substituted in this story about a demonstration and an anti-Muslim video. We now have revealed emails from the State Department spokeswoman, Victoria Nuland. After she received the original report from the CIA, she asked the CIA to make changes because she said this assessment would make the administration look bad. The CIA did make some changes, but when the report got to the State Department made all of the other changes. On the weekend after the Benghazi attack, the State Department sent out Susan Rice, U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, to go on all of the weekend talk shows and explain that the event in Benghazi was a spontaneous demonstration caused by a video that offended Islam. Very soon after, the conservative media pointed out that Susan Rice was wrong, that this was an attack by Al-Qaeda. The administration did not admit changing the story, but they said that this was inaccurate information given to them by the CIA. That was a lie. They made up the story. Now, it's understandable that Hillary Clinton and the Obama administration could have gotten the wrong impression by listening to the wrong sources. The news media jumps to wrong conclusions all the time. But nobody was talking about this being a demonstration about a video. To this day, the administration is not saying who came up with this fictitious story. The bottom line is this. The CIA had briefed the president and the cabinet with specific details about the attack in Benghazi being a terrorist attack by Al-Qaeda, but the administration changed the story. Now, the administration has been trying to avoid the whole controversy, hoping that the whole thing will eventually blow over. Jay Carney, the press secretary for the president, tried to dismiss the importance of Benghazi by stating, well, it was a long time ago. Why bring it up? Well, in the words of Hillary Clinton, what difference does this all make? Well, there are two crimes here, and it's important that we separate them as two. First, changing or making up a new reason for the terrorist attack in Benghazi. Second, not coming to the aid of the embassy. We are really left with two questions here. Why did the administration change the story? But more importantly, why did they deliberately refuse to send in military assistance? President Obama brought in all sorts of military assistance in Libya to bring down the dictator, Muammar Gaddafi. Why did they ignore the embassy being attacked? Now, the most common explanation was that this was right in the middle of the presidential race. And an attack by one of our embassies by Al-Qaeda would not fit into the president's narrative that he had Al-Qaeda on the run and that it was no longer a significant threat. But that makes really no sense. Because in a presidential race, political operatives want the president to be involved in sending troops to defend American interests because that always gives the president a boost in the polls. When presidents use the military, it is always good PR for the administration. I remember back in September, even conservatives feared that the president might find a way to use the military before the election, thereby increasing his popularity. In Benghazi, he had the chance, but he refused to act. Now, for this reason, some conspiracy theorists believe that the White House actually wanted to eliminate Ambassador Stevens because he was involved in some secret White House scheme. Well, since there is no information about this, we shouldn't even speculate. And I often have to constantly remind my patriot friends that we can't make up accusations without facts. We can't say that there's a group of Illuminati controlling the world's economy unless we have names and scripts. We can't say that the president must have been involved in some secret moving of arms toward the Syrians through Ambassador Stevens unless we have some proof. We can't superimpose on reality the way we think the world works or the way we want the world to work. Maybe the only reason Hillary and President Obama did not respond to the Benghazi attacks is because, given their worldview, they simply didn't take the news seriously. They had a naive, Pollyannish view of the world that clouded their ability to assess the situation and act decisively. Which is very interesting because back in 2008, in the Democratic primary for president, Hillary Clinton had a political ad. And it went like this. It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep, but there's a phone call in the White House and it's ringing. Something is happening in the world. Who do you want answering the phone? And of course, the ad went on to claim that Hillary Clinton would act wisely and decisively when the phone rang reporting an international crisis. Well, Hillary Clinton did get a call. It wasn't at 3 a.m., but it was at 2 a.m., and she did nothing. She was asleep at the switch, so to speak. I find it very interesting that the very thing that she boasted about in her political campaign 4 years ago became her failure. And that is a lesson we find time and time again in the Bible. But now let's look at this second crime, changing or making up a new reason for the terror attack in Benghazi. Two things seem to be going on in this. For some strange reason, the left often wants to come to the defense of Islam. And rather than blaming Islam, they are quick to give Islamists an excuse that it's the fault of America. And this is what the administration did in blaming this Coptic Christian for making a satirical video that made fun of Islam. Second, by blaming the attack on a video and demonstration, the White House thought this story could remove the accusation of incompetence. How were they to know that this demonstration would get out of hand and take the life of the ambassador and 4 other embassy workers? We don't send out military assets every time there's a demonstration. So you see how the demonstration story became a cover. But if you really think about it, these people are not very good liars. If they were smart enough, they would have realized that they're going to wind up looking just as incompetent by calling an Al-Qaeda attack a demonstration. But that's the nature of most liars. They're usually not smart enough to fabricate a foolproof story. So once they lie, they are caught, then they dig a deeper hole by trying to cover a bad lie with another bad lie. The timeless lesson we see in all this is the typical behavior of unprincipled, unrighteous leaders. They will try to cover their sin to look good. Image is more important than truth. While it says of the righteous man in Psalm chapter 15, he walks in his integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He keeps his word even to his own hurt and does not change, meaning that he will be honest even if it means hurting his image. Being truthful is more important than our image, than our careers. And I hope that you know this and that you live this way. I have tried to even teach my children this. It's better to get an F and not cheat than to get an A and cheat. Because if you get an A by cheating, you will not have the blessing of God. And you will be going nowhere without God's blessing. And be sure your sin will find you out. And furthermore, God's grade is the only thing that really matters. So you might as well be honest and take the F. Whatever pains you receive from the F is nothing compared to the pains you will receive from lying. So you keep your word and live honestly, even if it hurts you in the short term. Because you want the approval of God more than the approval of men. But those who refuse to acknowledge God will see truthfulness as optional. Facts are to be bent in such a way to benefit you. Because the goal is not pleasing God and God's standards. The goal is short-term personal gain. Have you ever noticed all of the political cover-ups found in Scripture? They all have as an underlying theme that the king wanted to deceive the people to maintain a good image. Because when you lead people, a good image is necessary to maintain your place of power and privilege. The first classical political cover-up in the Bible was King Saul in 1 Samuel 15. Saul told the prophet Samuel that he had carried out the commands of the Lord and destroyed everything in the city of the Amalekites. Then the prophet Samuel made the famous statement, "Oh yeah? What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears?" Saul did not destroy everything belonging to the Amalekites. He did not fulfill the mission God sent him on. But Saul wanted to give the impression that he was a great king. In fact, when the prophet Samuel confronted Saul, Saul was setting up for himself a monument in Carmel. Image was more important to Saul than the truth. The next well-known biblical cover-up was that of King David, 2 Samuel chapter 11. Now in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. He had written in the letter, say, place Uriah in the front line of the fiercest battle and withdraw from him so that he may be struck down and die. David wanted to cover up his adultery with Uriah's wife and her pregnancy. Rather than David admitting his moral failure, he plotted with his general Joab to have Uriah die in battle. And when the story of Joab's defeat and Uriah's death hit the papers, David said to Joab, "Oh well, people die in battle all the time." David was being a straight-faced liar, and he even caused his own army to be defeated in battle to cover up his own crimes. He had one of his own men set up to be killed by a foreign army. And then David spun a story that this was just an unfortunate consequence of battle. But in this, notice how David and many people in power cover up their crimes with a cover story. In David's day, more was happening than what the public was privy to. And this is why we should never trust the government. Or as Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. Because of man's propensity to do evil, the House needs to watch the Senate, and the Senate the House, and the judiciary watch the White House, and the CIA watch the FBI, and the FBI watch the CIA, and both of them need to watch the State Department. The American system was set up with the Christian understanding that men are corrupt and cannot be trusted with power. Well, moving on, let me mention another famous biblical cover-up, that of Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab wanted Naboth's land, which was adjacent to his palace, but Naboth wouldn't sell it. So Ahab and Jezebel planned to murder Naboth and take his land. 1 Kings 21, Jezebel, his wife, said to Ahab, "Do you now reign over Israel? Arise, eat bread, and let your heart be joyful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite." So she wrote a letter in Ahab's name and sealed it with his seal and sent letters to the elders and to the nobles who are living in Naboth's city. Now she wrote in the letter saying, "Proclaim a fast and seat Naboth at the head of the people, and seat two worthless men before him, and let them testify against him, saying, 'You curse God and the king.' Then take him out and stone him to death." In other words, charge him with conspiracy. So the men of his city, the elders and the nobles who lived in his city, did as Jezebel had sent word to them, just as it was written in the letters which she had sent to them. Now notice that rather than Jezebel and Ahab simply taking the land from Naboth, they still wanted to create an image before the people that they were honest and good rulers. Somebody once said that hypocrisy is the homage vice pays to virtue, meaning that if virtue was not so important to people, nobody would try to look virtuous. But evil people have a conscience, and they know that they need to fool the righteous to get ahead. Now, when Israel's rulers became extremely wicked, they no longer bothered to even look honest. They didn't care what the people thought about them, nor were the people surprised by their king killing his opponents. You know, most countries of the world look at America's political scandals and say, "Well, what's so bad about that? Why would your politicians even cover up their actions? Our politicians do those things as a matter of course, and it's expected of them." We should be very thankful that we have these controversies in our country, that we expect high standards from our leaders, that there are people speaking out against corruption. If we lose that, the end is near. Now, another interesting point of this text is that not just Ahab and Jezebel plotted this murder. The elders and the nobles were more than happy to play along with Ahab's lie to cover his back, even if it meant an innocent man is murdered. Because corrupt politicians will cover for each other. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back as long as we help each other to maintain power. But be assured that nobody gets away with anything because God is on his throne. When Ahab goes to take possession of Naboth's land, the prophet of God shows up. 1 Kings 21, the prophet speaks, "Thus saith the Lord, have you murdered and taken possession? In the place where the dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, the dogs will lick up your blood, even yours. Behold, I will bring evil upon you, and will utterly sweep you away, and will cut off from Ahab every male, both bond and free, in Israel." Now, the judgment did not happen right away, because God wanted to continue to expose the sin of Ahab's reign. But the day did come when God settled the score. God punished Ahab with another evil man by the name of Jehu. And Jehu slaughtered Ahab and Jezebel and every single son of Ahab, 70 in all. So don't be distraught about corruption in politics. Be sure your sin will find you out. But there's a point here I want us to notice. In each of these biblical examples of political cover-ups, it took the prophet of God to arrive and expose the sin of these kings. And this is the role that the righteous have today. We must continually expose the corruption of this world. And for all of America's problems, we still have some good men who are exposing the corruption in government. Imagine what it would be like if we had no congressmen, no journalists exposing the Benghazi cover-up or the IRS cover-up or the Department of Justice phone monitoring cover-up. Imagine what unprincipled people would get away with if the righteous were not watching them. So the righteous need to expose corruption, and as Paul taught the churches, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. And of course, that should be your job if you are called into journalism or if you're called into a teaching ministry. But all of us need to speak up against corruption wherever we see it. And let's remember that the greatest cover-up and the greatest corruption is not coming from the White House, but from the kingdom of Satan. What needs to be exposed continually is the philosophical lies of the devil in secular ideology or in false religion. And more than just telling people about the Benghazi cover-up, we need to be telling people about the lie, Romans 1:25, for the world has exchanged the truth of God for the lie. That is, that man is basically good, that man is his own savior, that all roads lead to heaven. This is the devil's cover story, but we need to explain to the world that man is a sinner and only Jesus Christ is the savior. So here is a key lesson we can learn from Benghazi. Ephesians 5:11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. You have been listening to God and Country Radio. Visit us at our website, godandcountryradio.org. There you can listen to the full version of this program again or other past programs. We post these programs to help you become a knowledgeable and discerning Christian. And we hope that you will continue to listen weekly. Contact us from our website with any suggestions, comments, or ideas. We would love to hear from you. That is godandcountryradio.org. Spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us in this ministry of exposing sin and in proclaiming your truth from the rooftops. By your Spirit, lead each one of us to know how we can use our resources and talents to spread the truth. And as far as our country is concerned, may your truth be marching on. In the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.